This is Pirate RC.
My name is Richard.
And we're here. We're going to interview Raul from Ozamotli. We're at the House of Blues in San Diego.
Oh, happy to be here. San Diego.
Cuando canto mi canción, quiero inspirar mi gente con una solución.
Are you guys excited about playing in San Diego? Just because this is near
home. I'm just the kind of type who is excited about playing. I'm happy when I'm playing on the street corner, so if nobody's there or if there's 1,000 people, it's all good to me. So, yeah, we're going to have a good show. There's a lot of people we know down here. It's going to be fun.
So. All right. Now, we know as a group you guys met up while working in the L.A. area at the Peace and Justice Center. Can you speak about maybe some of the projects you worked on?
Yeah, when we first got started, it was really just to raise money for this community center that the bass player who still plays in this band, Will, and the original drummer, Anton Morales, who doesn't play in this band anymore. They were part of a group that went on strike. They raised some. They were able to take control of a building that the city of LA kind of let them have for a year. And in that particular part of LA, it's Pico Union. There's really no social services or anything,
right.
And probably one of the most densest places of the city, with like the lowest medium income for families. And so there's just a lot of people trying to get by. And I remember seeing kids playing soccer in the parking lot and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of what kids would do. So we just went out, and the different people got them involved in as many things as they could, whatever they were interested in, whether it be from even like, you know, tagging to skateboarding to art to cooking to poetry to playing music, making t-shirts, like whatever they were into. And you know, we would just set things up for them to kind of go haywire on and
provide a creative outlet.
Yeah, just something for, you know. And I think we weren't much older than that, you know, when this started. So we were in tune with just what it felt like as young people to be kind of like trying to get your thing going, and it being like everyone telling you stop,
right?
Like, which makes no sense, you know. Everyone just should be saying, yeah, okay, let's do it, because none of it is harmful. So you know, that's kind of how we went about it. And we've been together for almost 12 years ever since then.
So in that 12 years, I mean, you guys have gone from basically being really independent like that to winning Grammys and being recognized and even, you know, being in films and things like that. Is that something you were even looking to have happen?
You know, I think it just depends who you ask. Like, I think the one thing about whoever you ask in this band a question, you're going to get a different answer. There's so many of us, and we all have kind of different opinions and different feelings. And there's some people who really believed all along that, you know, we were going to really do stuff from the get-go. And then there was other people who were just there for the gig, you know. And I think it kind of got weeded out as we just started getting more shows and people had to make commitments, because, you know, 15 people would show up, and it was always different. And I think the ones who are still here are the ones who were kind of, we were just the ones that kept showing up. So I think it for some people, I think in their lives, period, whether it was this band or without this band, they were going to make it as a musician. And with some people, they just wanted to play music just to be able to play it. So I think that kind of still goes on. You know, there's some of us who are very, very intense on the business and the art and everything. There's some of us who show up and just do the best we can to have a good time and to throw down, you know, musically. And all that's good, because I think it's important that we don't try to force one another to be other than who we are. And if it can work and it's worked for us, then, you know, that seems like a good thing.
That was exciting. I understand that they used one of your songs on the openings of the Showtime hit series, Weeds. Am I correct?
You know, they didn't use one of our songs. They asked us to make a version of that song. It's like what they were doing this year is, I think that there was a second season for that show, and they had asked all these artists to do the theme, just to re-record it. So they asked us, and we said, sure, you know, and it was funny because I ended up being the one singing it, but I didn't. I'd heard of the song, but I was like, so they came and showed up at the studio one day, and they're like, "Hey, we're here to record you. We're here to film you recording the song." And I was like, oh, "Really? Okay." That's how professional we are, you know. So we just set up and just kind of made a version and just talked about it. And I know what that song is, and I know what that song is about. It's an old folk song about growing up to be just like everybody else rather than kind of doing your own thing. And so it was fun doing it, and you know, I some people got a kick out of it, you know, so that's cool.
I know that Ozo Motley has a reputation for playing past your time and often taking it down into the stands and sometimes out into the into the hallways and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've always, from the get-go, we've always liked playing music. So I think that's what makes us a good live band, is that we like playing. So when we're on stage, we're looking for ways to entertain ourselves, you know, just as much as everybody else. It's like doing the same thing over and over, even though I think a lot of our songs, like right now we're in the process of relearning songs that we recorded for records to present them live. And I think in that process we're going to change up our show. But still, we've been doing this type of show for a while. And so when we're playing live, it's just any little piece of something that people can do different, that any of us can do different, take it somewhere else. That can be spontaneous, you know, that allows people to kind of let themselves shine in whatever way. And so that's always fun. I can't remember what the question was, but...
The title of your new album. And
your new record is coming out April 4th. It's called Don't Mess With The Dragon. I think it's our most... I think it's the best group of songs we've ever had. You know, it's like... I think, you know, we get a lot of love from the first record, and I think that there's a spirit on there, and then Charlie was on there, and Cub was on there, and I think all that was really, really special. You know, and I think that the start of that has allowed us to have a reason to keep playing, why people... Not only because we play live, but because there's things out there that people want to hear. With this record, I really feel like we're going to grow. And I think that we're ready. I think that we've been doing this a long time. I think that we're definitely older, so it's interesting, you know, because it's interesting to come here and be 12 years down the line and see kids still in the audience, you know, which is awesome. And older people, too. So we have an interesting crowd. We always have. You know, and I think this CD that comes out, Don't Mess With The Dragon, on April 4th, it's going to get us to people who've never heard us. And that's cool, man, because I think we're primarily interested in spreading, like, the message of that everyone has some value, that diversity is important. It's not about being the same. It's about being unique but getting along, you know, and still being able to respect one another, but being yourself. And because the world just seems way more interesting that way to me, you know, I think to us in general.
Yeah. And the chemistry of the group must have has changed, obviously, bringing in a new MC, and you have a new a new DJ as well.
Yeah, we've gone through changes, man. And, you know, it's always a adjustment, because everyone, that's part of it, is like, you know, if it's an MC, say, you know, then they're saying their spur verses and stuff. It's like that flow is... It may be a little different. So you're not trying to force them into how you feel. You're trying to find a place where it all works. And
common ground.
Yeah, and I think the band we have right now, I think, is the best lineup we've had in a long time. And I think everyone is really talented, and everyone contributes. And we still, you know, really, really care on putting on a good show. And I think that's what we're going to do tonight. I know it.
That's good to hear. I know. Yeah. Can we expect to hear a lot of new material?
Yeah, that's all we've been doing. We might play a song today that we haven't played since before it was recorded. And in that process, like with us, when you record things, it really changes, you know, like you just edit stuff differently, or things that may have worked live don't really work, and you know, when you record it, and you go through this whole process of being extra critical, adding things, taking things away, and before you know it, the song's a little different. This is one of the songs that has probably stayed the same more than any of the songs that we, when they started from start to finish in the recording process, but it's still really different than the way we used to play it. So we were kind of relearning it right now in soundcheck, and people are like, I don't really know how it goes, I don't really know the new breaks, I don't really know, I can't remember, because this is like months ago that we recorded it, and people are just like, so what, just we'll figure it out. So I was listening to it right now, and so there'll be about 8 or 9 new songs, you know, from our new CD, and we're really trying to learn. This is the first time I think we're going to play all 12 songs off any CD, and hopefully when the next, and by January, we'll probably be able to play the whole CD back to front to back.
Well, what's cool is that you guys do need to rehearse differently for live, because I think some bands, you'll end up just going and hearing the album. You know, it'll be a little out of order, but you'll just go hear exactly what was on the album. You can sing exactly along to it, which it's better when you're watching a band live, and you can't sing along exactly because they're going to throw you off a little bit with changing things.
Yeah, we're always trying stuff, you know, and it's just the funny thing is we hate to rehearse. We've never rehearsed from the get-go. We just showed up. We like show up early so we can figure out what to play. It was like, oh, we got to go on in an hour. What do you know? I know this song. Teach me the chords. All right, here. Play. That's how the whole style evolved. It was like, well, I know this Mexican folk song. You know, what are the chords? Here are the chords. What's it be like? I don't know. Just play the drums. We'll make it work. So the drummer's playing a funk beat to this. And, oh, I'm supposed to play this folk song. Okay, well, this acoustic guitar. Well, here it goes. And the bass player's... I went to reggae, so he's like, well, I'm just going to play this reggae feel with these chords. And that's how the whole thing came about. It wasn't, you know, there was no plan. It was just kind of like, you're a musician, just figure it out, you know, or have fun with it. And we'll you know, when it sounds good, we'll know.
So like a lack of structure, it's like a breeding ground for creativity.
Yeah, it's crazy, though, too, because it's hard to be around us because of that. Like, because if you work like our manager, we drive her nuts and people, because we're always like, our ideas, we got a great idea, and then before we finish that one, someone else, oh, I got a better idea. So that craziness is part, I think, what makes it, in the end, sound, allows us to go all these different places.
It's like you're kind of always jamming, really, rather than...
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, because we'll do some things that we've done, we'll like, one thing we really liked, and then, oh, we'll repeat it a few times, and then we'll be like, okay, no, we can't do that again. We got to do something else. So it just, it'll be interesting to see how that one song comes out tonight. It's called Creo, and it's kind of like reggaeton, but a little bit more, I think it's more on the hip-hop edge than reggaeton, but, and it's, the verses are very political, and who knows, you know?
What do you find? I mean, your fan base, the people who are really just solid with you, they're definitely people who are more politically and socially minded overall, right? I mean, do you find that anyway? And maybe messages they send you guys and stuff. They must be a little different than what other bands might see.
Our fans, man, I mean, they're devoted, you know? So we're just happy, and we try to keep them happy. And in terms of, like, just responding to them and acknowledging them. I think part of what we've always done, even with like the samba and all that stuff, going out to the crowd and stuff, it was never really like we wanted to be rock stars. It was like we just want to play music. So going down in the crowd was kind of like, yeah, we get to do it all together, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that really tripped a lot of people out, in the sense where people who've latched onto that, like, that's the sentiment, I think, from our fans. It's more like we're totally approachable. We're just like regular people, and we don't really like trip on any of that stuff. And
show that love right back to the fans.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're grateful that people show up and pay 20, 25 bucks, whatever they do, so I get to play music. I mean, I think we always try to remember that. You know?
Yeah. Special. Yeah. Now, since we're talking about the fans, we did have a fan question about the Ozo symbol, and they wanted to know if the original design was inspired from Jimmy Page's Zoso icon.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it could have been. I don't know. But, see, this is funny. When we first got started, there was a guy at a college, an art college in L.A., in Pasadena, called the Pasadena Art Center, a really prestigious art college. A lot of people go there and get big jobs as graphic designers and visual artists and all kinds of stuff, commercial and just, you know, regular struggling, making their own way artists. But pretty high-level, you know, skills that people come out of there with. And he asked us to play a gig. It was probably like we had just started charging people, because we used to do nothing but free gigs at first. It was just to play benefits. So it was all like, oh, we'll show up. Who's going to show up? That's why it was always different people. So once we started getting paid and stuff, there was all of a sudden there was a certain group that kept going. And he offered us like $400, and we had never charged that much money. And we were like, okay, no, you're like, okay, we'll take it, you know. Or he might have offered us like three, and we said, no, four. Who knows how it worked, right? And he said, four, and I'll give you a logo. And I'll make a logo for you, and you got to like it. I'll just keep coming with them until you like it. So he showed up with like four different logos, and that immediately that was the one. We were like, this is obviously the one, you know, it's so It's great. And we were, and he was just like, it's yours. So later on, when we got a record deal, we had to actually like legalize everything and stuff. And so we had to legalize the logo. And so we called him up and we're like, what do you want for the logo? And he was like, the deal was $400 and a logo. So whatever, man.
Nice. We held to it.
That's nice. And we were like, if you ever want to come to gigs, that's just call us up. You got lifetime pass as long as we're playing. You know, you could So that was it. So I don't know what his inspiration was, but definitely is reminiscent of that, you know. But I think the story about that's kind of funny and kind of cool. You know?
Yeah.
I know. I've always wondered.
Yeah, it's pretty. We lucked out with that one.
So I guess with the new album coming up, are people gonna expect to see you nationally? And right now, you're doing some local stuff.
Yeah, we'll start. We're doing a whole bunch of stuff. You know, our record comes out worldwide, so we're going to be traveling all over the world. So we won't start really touring till, like right now we're starting to do a bunch of press and like magazines and all that stuff so that it comes out when the record comes out. And that's in March. And, in April, beginning of April. In February, there's a highly, really interesting gig we might get in India.
Wow.
Going there and doing some like a government spot. Like Jito, who had a friend who plays a lot of Middle Eastern percussion, asked about us coming, and the government called our manager. Our manager had to get in touch with the U.S. government to create some kind of like cultural exchange thing. So we might go in the beginning of February to India.
Wow.
And I got an email today that was like, it's 95% sure. We'll find out if it's 100% tomorrow. So that would be a trip.
Exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it would be really cool for us because I think that that's the kind of experiences we need to always get beyond ourselves, you know, to see the broader things, to see the world is bigger. Because, you know, you can be struggling here every day in the bus. If you know, we're lucky. We got a bus. We got rooms to stay at, you know, sometimes. And sometimes we get really nice gigs and sometimes, you know, it's all lush and sometimes it's not as nice. But whatever, we're playing music and... You get wrapped up in that day-to-day about, everything, I got to take care for myself. And I think it's nice for us to have experiences as a band out in a place like that where we're all out of our element. We're all kind of like, whoa, you know, and getting to see the world in a different way and really trying to have an appreciation for life in a whole different way. You know, we've been to Cuba before. We raised money for ourselves to go to Cuba. We did that. We've gone to a bunch of different places around the world together. This would be that kind of gig where it wasn't really about making money or spreading the word. It was more like about having a real exchange with people from a different, whole different part of the world, and based through music. And from there, you learn each other deeper things about one another. So I'm hoping that it works out because I think that that would be really something that I think will put us in a good headspace for this whole year. Because once we get back from that, like from the middle of February on, it's going to be like insane. We're going to be touring nonstop all over the world.
I just have one more, thing I just thought of. If looking back 12 years ago and the kids that you started working with and you were helping, have you guys heard from any of them?
Yeah, I've run into them. You know, it's so funny because there's fans who've been with us for a long time, and it's interesting to see them grow up just like us and have their own families just like us, and also real younger people who've just gone on to do. I remember our first fan letter was from some kid in Boston. You know, some white kid in Boston, dude. And he was a little kid, and we still go there, and he's graduating from college now and all sorts of stuff. And it's a trip. He still shows up, and we're always happy to see him. He's always happy to see us. It's a trippy connection, you know, like, wow, you know, this guy. And it's a trip to kind of, like, just go through life that way with certain people, you know, and just check in once in a while when you go into their town. And I think for us, we just always are working on trying to be the best performers, musicians that we can be, and working on our how we are as people, how we treat one another, how we treat other people. I think if we do that, we'll be all right no matter what happens, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we would like to request
one thing.
give us your best. Arrgh.
Okay. Yeah. And we can like do it with you if you want.
Yeah.
You can go solo.
However you'd like to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the call? Am I calling out the radio thing, or am I just acting
like
a pirate?
We can just if Ozamotli adopted a pirate as one of their members, what would be the first thing that pirate would say?
Why, we're gonna make you jig all night long.
That's good.
Thank you.